Okay, let's wrap this up. God, I can't believe I'm doing a third episode on this. The thing is, there's nothing here that hasn't been said before. Like, don't get a degree in liberal arts. Get a fucking degree in something where you can get a job and make some fucking money. Get a goddamn abortion. And take some responsibility for your own fucking life. Stop waiting for Obama to give you shit. I mean, that's basically these three podcasts right there. That's all I've said. You can scream and shout with all your might. How you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and fucking moan and piss on Twitter. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. And that's how it is, because you're a dumb status motherfucker who's sitting around waiting for Obama to give you shit. Because you seriously thought that if you helped him, he was going to help you. You thought he was going to pay your mortgage and put gas in your car. Well, he's not. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking statist all over the place. Filthy, nasty, little fucking whiny statist who just don't understand why those fucking anarcho-capitalists think they're entitled to their own stuff, and why anarcho-capitalists think you should actually have to earn money instead of stealing it from other people. Oh, God, they're such fucking assholes. I can't believe that. Can you imagine? Anarcho-capitalists actually expect statist to fucking work for their money. We expect statist to actually get a fucking job or a profession you can actually get paid for. Jesus fucking H. Christ on a stick. We are so fucking evil. All right, let's go on. Hi, Randy. How's it going? The lovely and adorable Randy is over there in control room. I'm the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Today is December 29th, 28th, something like that. 28th, thank you. You can send us email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Okay, look, we're here. We're going to wrap this up. I'm reading this article from Elle Magazine about Bree Bolin. It was supposed to be a one-parter, then it turned into a two-parter. And like I said, I'm just repeating myself. The woman has a fucking 8-year-old retarded kid, and she has a liberal arts degree. She's got a degree in motherfucking avant-garde poetry. And she can't figure out why she can't make any money. Why is this so fucking hard? I've explained, you know, here's the thing. Statists don't understand. Well, they do understand. All right, look. I shouldn't even go at it that way. Here's the deal. There's two ways you can get money in your life. Because all the money you will ever have in your life right now belongs to somebody else. I've already talked about this before, so I'm going to make this brief. All the money you will ever have in the future, from this moment, right now, from the minute you hear my voice, right now forward, all the money you will ever have in the rest of your life, right this minute, belongs to someone else. You have to get that money from them somehow. There's two ways you can go about doing this. Did I fill up my water bottle? I did. Good. You can create value for other people and earn that money, or you can steal that money, which is called welfare, redistribution of wealth, WIC, Social Security, retirement, all this other shit. Well, retirement is, in a way, theft. I mean, no, you're right. I mean, if it's like a private retirement plan, that's something different. So when I said retirement there, I was thinking more along the lines of Social Security. The statist version of retirement. And if I remember, I'll come back to this when I get to reading the messages from Twitter. You've all heard the saying, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for the rest of his life. Getting a liberal arts degree and being on welfare is like receiving a fish each day of your life, because this is how the welfare system is designed to work. I've talked about this at length before. The statist welfare system is designed not to prevent people from being poor or to help people stop being poor. It is designed to keep people poor. Right, I've talked about this ad nauseum. This is why the welfare system gives people on welfare just enough money each month for them to stay alive, but never enough money for them to have the money to do something like invest it in some way. Investment being buying something they can use to earn money. You know, like buying a tool, like you buy a lawnmower, then you mow some lawns, you get some money. You buy, I don't know, you or you take the some lump sum of money, you go to plumber school, you learn to be a plumber, right? The welfare system does not give people a giant sum of money that they can then invest in themselves or in equipment or even in simply moving to another location where they can get a job or anything like that. Because that could result in some people, not all of them of course, but some people not being poor anymore. And the point of the welfare system is to keep people poor. So when you've got these people like Bree Bolin who's sitting here whining about how the government isn't doing enough and how, you know, the minimum wage isn't high enough and all this other shit, the government's never going to help you, you dumb bitch. And there's no way to make you understand that because you're a brainwashed femistatist. Obama's been the president for 6 fucking years. If Obama was going to do something to help you, he'd have probably done it by now. The government is not going to help you little adjunct professors stop being poor. Because the state wants you to be poor. As I asked in the last episode of Stating the Obvious, if college campuses are the nexus of political correctness and liberalism, and if liberals care about poor people so much, why is it that the liberals who run the college campuses pay adjunct professors such small amounts of money? The answer, of course, is because poor people serve the purpose of the state. All right, let me get through this article. Oh, and I just, for day after Christmas or whatever the fuck it was, Christmas happened. It's over, thank God. No more Christmas music. Oh, fucking Christ on a stick. Christ on a stick. I just love that phrase. The fuck was I talking about? Christmas music! Yes, Christmas music. It's over. Thank God. It's fucking done. Christmas done. Anyway, I watched the movie Heathers the day after Christmas or day after Christmas or something. If you have not seen the movie Heathers, you should watch it. It still has Winona Ryder in it back when she was young and cute. And it's a fairly twisted movie. It's kind of like a twisted, what do you call it? It's like the high school romance things, like Pretty in Pink and that little genre that existed for a while. Maybe it does still exist. I don't know, since I don't really watch current movies. So it's like Pretty in Pink, but twisted. Anyway, great movie. It's called Heathers. I highly recommend you check it out. All right, let's get back. I left off where we talked about how she was 28, she got pregnant because she had a random hookup with a 20-year-old guy that was in a band, and she said she never considered not having the baby, and the baby, whose name is Finn, was born with quadriplegic cerebral palsy. And I pointed out that, first of all, for those of you guys who are having sex with femistatists who are all about abortion and shit, and you think that you're safe from her getting pregnant because she will get an abortion if she gets pregnant, as I pointed out, you're wrong. Women, even especially femistatists, when they get pregnant, aren't going to follow through and get an abortion. They love to talk about abortion. They love to fucking walk around and protest abortion, protest for abortion, whatever the fuck you want to call it. They love, you know, but they're not going to get a fucking abortion when they get knocked up because, number one, as I said then, I need to remember to fucking put this in the show notes. You know, it never matters. Sometimes I'll try to do show notes before I do a show, and when I do that, I never talk about anything in the show notes, so I have to fucking rewrite them. Or then I just sit down like this, and I've got just a very basic outline, and by basic outline I mean 17 words scribbled on a piece of paper, 16 of which are illegible because it's my handwriting. And then when I do the show and go to do the show notes, I have no fucking idea what to put in the show notes. All right, why your feminist girlfriend is not going to get an abortion when she gets pregnant. Reason number one, despite what they would love to think, evolution is a motherfucker. And millions of years of evolution have conditioned women to make babies, just like they've conditioned men to want to fuck women, okay? And you can try and try and try to overcome that, but they're not going to overcome it. The fucking mommy shit is going to kick in. As soon as they get pregnant, they're going to want to have the baby. Reason number two, the feminist is not going to have an abortion, is because they recognize that this is their meal ticket. This is free money for at least 18 years, and if your child is disabled like this one is, for the rest of your life, right? She's going to get her fucking WIC. She's going to get any given feminist. She's going to get her WIC. She's going to get the alimony, or not alimony, child support. You know, and if your child has quadriplegic cerebral palsy, you know, you're going to get support. You're going to get funding from the government for the entire rest of your life to take care of this child. So the feminist sees this as a way to tap into the state system to get this welfare money that she thinks she's entitled to. The third reason they're not going to get the abortion, which I didn't go into the last one because I didn't think about it at the time, is quite simply because it's a thing they can use as sympathy, right? Bree Boland will play this fucking card. I have a handicapped son. You should give me, you're attacking my handicapped son. You're full of hate. I'm like, I do. I hate you. I don't hate your son. It's not your son's fault that he has a cerebral palsy. It's not his fault that you didn't abort him before he was a human being. It's not his fault that you brought him into this life and now he's living with this condition. It's not his fault. I don't hate him, but I do hate you because I'm having to pay for this shit because you made a bunch of bad choices. You got a fucking liberal arts degree. You took a job as an adjunct professor knowing good and fucking, or well, you should have known good and fucking well you wouldn't make any money, but apparently you didn't do any research. You didn't actually ask adjunct professors how much money they make. You didn't do any cost of living calculations because, of course, that's math. And anytime somebody does math, a fucking feminist, you know, gets a pay cut or something because math is patriarchy. And then you got knocked up by this 20-year-old when you were probably drunk one night. And they had the kid, and now every fucking person in the United States who actually has a job and creates value for other people has to fucking pay for it. So yeah, I do hate you. You're a dumb fucking feminist statist bitch. And you're a dumb fucking bitch. And you're a dumb bitch. And you're a fucking parasite on every fucking one of us that actually work for a fucking living. And you're going to hide, I guarantee you, you're going to hide behind your little fucking 8-year-old son. That's why you had him. So that when people criticize your actions, you can hide behind your handicapped son. All right, let me get back to reading this shit. In 2008, when Finn was 2, Boland returned to Chicago and started teaching as many classes as she could get from Columbia, but her boss recently warned her that she'll never get a permanent job. Quote, academia just isn't a career choice anymore, unquote, Boland said. Okay, if academia is not a career choice, why have you chosen to try to make that your career? It's like saying, touching the hot burner on the stove is a bad idea, and then touching the hot burner on the stove. If academia is not a career choice, why are you working in academia? She's been told by her boss, supervisor, whatever the fuck, that she will never get a permanent job there. And yet she keeps going back. mean, how do you respond to this? Right, when these people complain that they're poor. Well, yes. No shit. One reaction to Boland's plight might be get over yourself. Find something that pays the bills. Or as Karen Kelsky, a former anthropology professor who founded a counseling service called The Professor Is In, has put it, find a real job. Her clients pay $300 an hour for email consult about how to reinvent themselves and sometimes express, quote, rage, despair, and disappointment, unquote, about their disappearing profession. Now see, here's a great example. This woman found a way to actually create value for other people, and now she can make $300 an hour writing emails. Because she's creating value for other people. Isn't that amazing? If you create value for other people, you can make money. Hold on, I need to write something down because I need to get this in the show notes. And I need to make sure I talk about it. Because it's another place where statist, especially left-wing femistatist, are completely disconnected from having any understanding of reality. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Boland is an avid follower of Kelsey's blog. Blah, blah, blah. And although Kelsey's advice sounds sensible, Boland always struggles to find time to send out her resume or get additional training. That's interesting. She has time to be on Twitter sending tweets about me, but she doesn't have time to do her resume. My goodness, Brianna. My goodness, Brianna. What if you took the time you spent on Twitter and you spent that working on your resume or getting some additional skills? But no. See, it's easier to hide behind your handicapped son, isn't it? It's easier to use him for a shield to protect yourself from criticism about your bad choices. She has thought, she being Brie, I want to keep calling her Brianna. No, Brianna is right, not Brianna, Brianna. She, being Brianna, has thought about supplementing her income with some kind of retail job, but Finn's childcare cost would eat up her paycheck. She started to train as a speech-language pathologist a few years ago. Her son needed speech therapy since birth, but the further along she understudies, the more despondent she became, and she eventually dropped out. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Yes, I have a degree in liberal arts, so now I'll go study speech pathology. Because that's going to make a lot of fucking money, too. So, who are the majority of the clients for speech pathology? People with handicapped children. People with handicapped children, for the most part, are going to be poor. They're not going to have a lot of money. They're going to be relying on government assistance to get whatever medical care they can for the children. Again, government assistance is only going to give you barely enough money to stay alive each month. So that means these people are going to have a lot of money. So again, you're trying to sell something. This is another thing statists don't understand. And unless you're Walmart, you can't make money selling things to poor people. Right, speech pathology, most of your clients are going to be poor people. Yes, you're going to have a couple of rich people who have a kid who needs some speech therapy. Okay, if you find those clients, then you're set. Okay, you're boom, money for life, you're done. But most speech pathologists, whatever in the fuck a speech language pathologist, you're going to be working at some other fucking clinic. Most of your clients are going to be getting government assistance. They're going to be poor. They're not going to have a lot of fucking money. You're not going to make a lot of money. If you want to get a second job, you got to get a second job where you can provide a fucking service for people that have money. A retail job? Well, yeah, of course your child care costs would eat it up. Wait, I thought Obama was going to give you free child care. I thought he was going to take care of your baby. I thought if you helped him, he was going to help you. Don't get a fucking retail job. Again, here's this other woman, Karen Kelski, $300 an hour to write emails. And this Bree Boland chick, she's so fucking smart. She's got her liberal arts degree. We'll fucking find a way to make $300 writing emails. If Karen can do it, you can do it. You just have to fucking take responsibility for your fucking life, and you have to stop hiding behind your handicapped child. You have to find a fucking way to create value for other people. And you're not going to do that as an adjunct professor, because as you know, adjunct professors are considered pond scum by the college system that you paid a bunch of money to, the college system that you support, the college system that you willingly work for. That college system is going to continue to treat you like shit. And this sitting around waiting for that to change, like because Obama's going to fucking fart a rainbow out and it's going to change, you're going to fucking die poor, honey. Lately, she's been looking into work as a campus union organizer to capitalize. There's no capitalizing going on here. If she was capitalizing, she'd be making money. To capitalize on her interest in improving adjunct slot. But so far, that hasn't really panned out either. No, because you're not going to unionize adjunct professors and stand up to the college. There's a whole lot of unemployed people out there with liberal arts degrees. The college can just fire all of you and replace you at the drop of a hat. It's not going to work. And you know what? You're not going to make any money doing that. You're not going to make money being a motherfucking union organizer for poor people. Again, if you want to make money being a union organizer, you have to be a union organizer for people that make a lot of money, because the way you make your money is by getting dues from them. If they're poor, they're not going to be able to pay you dues. I mean, holy shit. This is like, it's like fucking having to explain things to a child. But a child could figure this out. If you said to a child, if you had a little child here and you said, Alice, see Bobby over there? Bobby has $10. Do you understand that? Alice would say, okay, he has $10. Then you would say, can Bobby give you $20? And she would think a second, and Alice would say, well, no. And you would say, well, why not? And she would say, well, because Bobby only has $10, and $20 is more than $10, so he can't give me $20. I mean, a fucking children can figure this out. Liberal arts degree, statheist, fucking femistatist, not a fucking clue. Not a clue. Okay, you can't make money providing services for poor people. Fucking hell. Tagging along with Boland at Trader Joe's. Ooh, we're gonna shop at Trader Joe's. Oh, it's so cool. Yep. I actually don't even know what the... I heard a rumor that there's supposed to be a Trader Joe's coming to Fort Collins, and everybody's, like, all the fucking statists I know are so excited. I love how statists who hate the corporations get so excited when a corporation comes to town. It just fucking cracks me up. So I actually don't know what the fuck Trader's... is a supermarket? Randy, do you know what the fuck Trader Joe is? Good, so I'm not the only one who doesn't give a fuck about Trader Joe's. Great. All right. Tagging along with Boland at Trader Joe's, I saw how wearing it was for her to try to stay within her monthly, $349 food stamp budget. Yes, there it is! Damn it! See, I thought I'd already... All right, hold on. Okay, so this is critical. I was looking before we started the show, because I had thought this information was earlier in the article and I couldn't find it, and I thought, well, I just made this up. I imagined running into it. Here it is. Okay. let us go back to where I talked about the analogy of giving a man a fish or teaching a man to fish, right? I explained that the welfare system gives you just enough money to survive every month without giving you enough money to actually stop being poor, because they want you to keep being poor. Okay, we're going to do something here. It's called math. Now, as I said, every time a heterosexual white man with a job does math, somewhere in the United States of America, a woman takes a pay cut. Because, see, this is how the patriarchy works. As a heterosexual white man with a job, I can actually control what happens to women and minorities. I have that ability. And so I'm going to do some math right now, and somewhere in the United States, there's going to be a woman who gets a pay cut because of this. Because math, we all know math was created to oppress women. Okay. I have this thing here called a calculator, if I can get it to work. Push the on button. There it is. It's not a calculator on a cell phone. It's an actual real-life calculator. It's like 1980 again or something. I have a calculator. Woo. Okay. Fuck, I already lost it. Here it is. By the way, I just want to point out that I wish I had fucking $349 a month to spend exclusively on food. I mean, Jesus Christ, what is this woman eating? Then, yeah, I don't. Wait, she's in Chicago, right? Yeah, all right, maybe the cost of living is more. I don't know. Just saying, if I had $349 a month to spend exclusively on food, I'd be eating steak every fucking night. Because I know how to fucking cook, and I can buy food. All right, anyway, let's do math. And just be clear, now at this point, I am not attacking Brianne. Bree. God damn it, Brianne. Yes, that's her. I can't fucking remember her name. I've talked about her for 3 goddamn podcasts. You would think by now I could remember her name. I'm not attacking her at this point. I've been attacking her before. This is about the welfare system. I'm going to illustrate to you exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. So they're giving her $349 a month in fucking food stamps. That's just enough money for her to buy food, and for she's feeding 2 people. Let's keep this in mind. And as it says here, that she's wearing it was on her to try to stay within her monthly $349 food stamp budget. Okay, so she's trying to feed 2 people. So let's do math. $349 a month times 12. So that is $4,188 a year. And I just did multiplication. Somewhere a woman just took a pay cut because of patriarchy. Now, because Brianne has this handicapped child, the child's going to live with her for her entire life. She's going to get these food stamps for her entire life. She is, oh God, see this is, and I stopped looking when I saw I was going to, I was trying to find how old she is. I want to say she's 30 something. I can't remember for sure. Damn it. All right. Just for the sake of this discussion, let's say she's 35. I can't remember her exact age. Let's say she's 35. She will reasonably, I mean, there's probably no reason she will not live until, I mean, she'd easily live into the age of 90. Not a problem. Minus 35. So that means she has 55 years of life left. Okay. Now, 55 years of life. I'm going to cause another woman to get a pay cut. I'm going to do some multiplication here. Times $4,188 a year. That is a grand total of 20. Oh, God, I can't fucking read. $230,000, 340 bucks. $230,000. That she will receive over the course of her life. Now, here's what I'm explaining. They're giving her $349 a month, just enough to keep her alive. What if they just took the $200,000 and just gave her the $200,000? Now, right at this point, the conservative Republicans are fucking rolling over and puking all over the place and shitting themselves because, of course, we don't want, they want to give away less welfare money. If we're going to have the welfare system, if we're going to have the statist redistribution of wealth system, and see, here's why this would, there's two reasons this would work. First of all, remember, the actual beneficiaries of the welfare system aren't the people getting welfare. The actual beneficiaries are all the people who work for the government in the welfare system, because these people would otherwise not have jobs. Because as low as adjunct professors with liberal arts degrees are, people who work for companies like companies, people who work for organizations like the government, the parts that provide welfare and WIC and food stamps, I mean, these are the fucking scum. These are people who couldn't get a job fucking cleaning toilets. I mean, at least Breanne Boland, for all of her fucking faults and stupidity, at least she can get a job doing something a little bit useful. The people who work at the fucking food stamp department, these are people who, if they did not have that government job, could not fucking figure out how to clean a toilet. So that's the real beneficiaries of the welfare system, and that's why the plan I'm outlining will never happen. What if we eliminated, because if we did my plan, if everybody just got a lump sum of money, the entire welfare system for the United States of America could be run by about 10 people. Because you would show up, she would show up and say, "Hi, I'm Breanne Boland, I'm here for more money." They would do the math, just like what I just did. They would cut her a check for $230,000. They'd hand it to her and say, "Great, never come back again." And she would now have $230,000. Now, some people would go piss this money away with gambling and alcohol and hookers, and that's fine. Because there's this thing called you own your life and you can do what you want. Other people would take this money. She could pay her bills. Boom, done. She could move to someplace else if her job opportunities are better there. She could, God help her, go back to college and maybe get a degree in something she could make money with. Whatever. But the point is, instead of giving her $349 a month for the rest of her life so she can just barely stay alive, just give her the fucking $230,000. No. Yeah, $230,000. Just give her the fucking money. And be done with it. Do you see the difference? You probably, if you're a statist, you don't, because you've got Obama's cock in your mouth. But, and the reason you can't see is because all you can see is like Obama's abdomen right there in front of your eyes because you're deep-throating him. It's the difference between giving a man a fish and teaching a man to fish. You can give people just enough welfare each month that they can stay alive, or you can give them enough money that they can invest that money in whatever they need to change their fucking lives. And my system will never happen, because my system would eliminate the need for a gigantic welfare bureaucracy, and it would reduce the number of poor people, and neither of those things serves the purpose of the state. All right, I gotta get moving. Randy, how am I on time? Ah, fuck. All right, I gotta get going. Oh, it says here she can also apply for about $600 in supplemental security disability payments in months when she earns less than $2,000. Okay, again, how many months does she earn less than $2,000? Multiply that by 600. Multiply that by the rest of her life. Give her the fucking check. Give her the money. The entire supplemental security disability bureaucracy, shut it down. It can be done by 10 people. Just give her the fucking lump sum and give her the opportunity to do something with her life other than be a fucking whiny femistatist who made a poor career choice. It says here that Finn must have expensive almond and rice milk. He's lactose intolerant, but then Boland is on the hunt for the 59 cent per pound giant bag of chicken legs. Chicken legs, gross. 49-cent bag of carrots and forgot about buying anything other than the absolute cheapest ground beef. Quote, I read blogs about people wasting $20 on frivolous things like a photo booth or fancy cheese, she says. I'll never do that, unquote. Which is interesting because, as it says over here, she collects 1960 French LPs. Now, I don't know how much a 1960 French LP cost, but if she has money to collect those, she might have money to buy food for her child. But then again, remember, the child is for hiding behind. That's what the child is for. Sticks and stones may break her bones, but only if you can hit her, because she's hiding behind her 8-year-old child. The point of the social psychology research is that when so much mental activity is devoted to basic survival, little is left to engage in long-term thinking or to muster willpower, which Bolin well knows. Quote, I need to smoke to relieve the pressure, unquote, she tells me as she feverishly rolls her own cigarettes one evening when I take her out to a bar, where she also finds relief in the form of plentiful margaritas. Okay, so again, quote, I read about blogs about people wasting $20 on frivolous things like a photo booth or fancy cheese. I'll never do that, unquote, she says. However, she collects 1960 French LPs, she smokes, and she goes to bars. And of course, being poor is so mentally difficult for her that she just doesn't have time or mental resources to figure out how to stop being poor. It's funny, I've been poor. I've been really fucking poor. I had lots of time to figure out how to stop being poor. That's why I went from being someone who had no money in the fucking bank and a shit ton of credit card debt to being someone who has not a lot of money in the bank, but you know that mythical, they say you should have 6 months worth of living expenses in the bank, which for a lot of people, you know, is pretty, I mean, you know, it's like, that's like a fantasy. That's like this unicorn. I was looking at shit the other day. I did some math. I did some patriarchy. I actually have, right now, I could cover my living expenses, my rent, my utilities, because that's all I've got is rent, utilities, food. I don't have any ongoing debt. I went from someone who had no money in the bank and a shit ton of credit card debt. I now actually have 6 months worth of living expenses in the bank, and I have zero credit card debt. And unless Bolin is willing to admit that I'm better than she is because I'm a man in patriarchy, if I can do it, she should be able to do it. I don't have a liberal arts degree. I'm not educated like she is. Of course, we all know the reason I could do it is because I'm a white man. And the natural oppression of our society, the patriarchy, you know, as a white man, I can just get up and stretch a little bit and then bend over and I can just fart out money, because us white men can do that because patriarchy. But see, she's oppressed. She just can't get a job. She can't create value for other people. She can't make any money because patriarchy. She's self-medicating, she says. Other times she uses Xanax for anxiety. She also takes a daily antidepressant. How does she afford Xanax and antidepressants? Don't those cost money? Or is she getting those free under Obamacare? So she's got money for all this shit. She's got money for drugs. She's got money for alcohol. She's got money for tobacco. She's got money for 1960 French LPs. Whenever people say they don't have any money, that's almost always a lie. Bolin's desperation comes through perhaps most poignantly when she takes me to her favorite Chicago neighborhood, Andersonville. Her education has influenced her taste. her education has influenced her taste, but obviously it hasn't influenced her ability to find a fucking job where she can actually get paid. Her education has influenced her taste, and she peers longingly into shop windows filled with mid-century antiques, wax flowers, handmade hats, toffee made with European beer. She tells me she's a foodie. Oh, she's a foodie. I love this foodie shit. You know, back when I was your age, there were no fucking foodies. There were just people who actually knew how to cook. I love how in our society now, knowing how to prepare your own food is like now, it's a thing. There's a word for it. She tells me she's a foodie and loves pasta with cream sauce and shrimp cocktail, as well as the opera cake sold at the tourist-ready Austrian bakery. But the cafes and restaurants here are as out of reach as the rents, or are as out of her reach as the rents, which are around double those in Brookfield where she lives. She stops in at a feminist bookstore, wishing she could spring for a book on sex and feminism, or a new collection of essays on living in the internet age. Maybe if you get off the internet, you could find a way to create value for other people and make some fucking money. Then you could buy that book about sex and feminism. Hey, you know what? You get books at the library for free. They're not really free because people who have jobs pay for the library through taxes. But I bet your book on sex and feminism is at your local public library. Why don't you go to the fucking library and get a book there? Bolin also says she hopes to find a partner to love and share practical tasks such as childcare, but she hasn't met anyone who seems right for a serious relationship. Because, you know, men, I'm assuming she's not a lesbian here. It doesn't really say if she's looking for, it doesn't really say if she's looking for men or women. Because, you know, men don't naturally flock to debt-ridden, underemployed, poor women who have 8-year-old handicapped children. I mean, yeah, I just, this complete disconnect. She can't figure out why she doesn't make money. You have a liberal arts degree in avant-garde poetry. You work as an adjunct professor at a college. You don't understand why you don't make money. She doesn't understand why she can't find a man. Well, she has debt. She's an adjunct professor at a college with a liberal arts degree, and she has an 8-year-old retarded son. Okay, men aren't going to flock to you. You're not attractive material to men. And I know that's patriarchy and it's hate speech and all this other shit. It also happens to be true. If it were not true, men would be flocking to you. I mean, do you not fucking get this? The fact that I am describing to you what is actually happening and saying what is actually happening to you is the truth, that men are not flocking to you, it's not hate speech. It's the fucking truth. If I were wrong, if men were wildly romantically and sexually attracted to underemployed women with liberal arts degrees who have 8-year-old children that are retarded, you would have men throwing themselves at you. This thing called reality would prove me to be a liar. You're fucking dumb. Okay, final paragraph, and we can move on. With twilight approaching, she points out an attractive dark-haired couple sitting with their toddler and son on a bench, a fancy stroller parked next to them. Quote, "When I see couples who have jobs, couples who look perfect, I want to ask them, how did you do it?" Unquote. But see, here's the thing. She doesn't. Why don't you try doing that? Why don't you ask them, how did you get your job? Why don't you talk to people who make a lot of money and find out what they've done to make money? Instead of just waiting for Obama to give you money, find people. Call this Karen woman who gets $300 an hour to write emails. Ask her, how the fuck did you get in a position where you can charge $300 an hour to write a fucking email? Talk to people who make money. Ask them questions. Find out what they did. Take the parts of that you can adapt and use and fucking make money. But nope, it's easier to just wait for Obama to fucking fart on you and give you money. It's easier to hide behind your 8-year-old child. It's easier to go on Twitter and call people names. It's easier to wallow in self-pity. It's easier to take no responsibility for the things that have happened to you because they couldn't possibly be related to the choices you've made in life, could they? No, no, no. It's all about the patriarchy. All right, where are we on time? Perfect. All right, let's wrap this. Okay, so anyhow, this, the original, part one of this podcast generated a bunch of hatred on Twitter aimed at me, which is great because it pushed up my search engine rankings and all this other shit, and I got traffic to the website, so that's always good. I love when people hate me on social media because every time it's always resulted in more traffic to the website, and it always results in more followers on Twitter or Google Plus or whatever. So anyway, please keep it up. So anyhow, I just want to run through these really quick. There'll be screenshots of these on the blog so you can look at them. I got one on Facebook. Now this is from Peter Myers, and Peter Myers wrote, he sent me a message. This wasn't a public post. This is what Peter Myers writes. Your organization is bullshit. I have connections with Bruce Rauner, governor of Illinois, and I will fuck you up and bury you losers. He has connections with the governor of Illinois. He's going to come fuck me up. Wow, I'm really scared. It is a good example, too, because as we're going through this, we need to think about how, you know, all these people are jumping on this, trying to defend Breanne. Breanne. Yes, I still can't fucking remember her name. Breanne. All these people are jumping in, trying to defend Breanne. Here's a question. If this little fucker, this beta male Peter Myers, has connections with the governor of Illinois, and his connections with the governor of Illinois make him so awesome that he can come and fuck me up and bury me, why doesn't he just help Breanne get a job? Instead of resorting to violence because I'm pointing out that Breanne is poor, if he's got so much power and awesomeness, why doesn't he help Breanne get a fucking job where she can make some money and stop being poor? Well, that would be too complicated. Okay. This is from N1 Academy. I wonder if @SinLibSociety understands just status quo, this radical message of work harder and make better choices resonates to adults. Now, first of all, it's not really a sentence, but I can kind of work it out. This guy probably has a liberal arts degree. So the radical position of work harder and make better choices. So in other words, he's trying to insult me for saying that. Well, yes, we can't possibly tell people to make better choices. I mean, that's patriarchy. I mean, this is why statism is so fucked up, because in statism, making better choices is a concept that is looked down upon by these people. These are people who think they should not be obligated to make better choices in their lives because they're like children. They believe the state is their parent. You know, whatever they fuck up, the state is supposed to come show up, bail them out. Now, it also understands this right of work harder. Now, This is good because let me clarify something here. I have at no point said work harder. Work harder is not the same thing as creating value. Again, Karen, $300 an hour to write emails. She's not working harder. I've never said you should work harder. There's a huge fucking difference between working harder and creating value for other people. Again, the fact that this statist does not understand the difference between working harder and creating value explains why this person is poor. Because if you don't understand the difference between working harder and creating value, you're always going to be poor. Those are two completely different concepts. Working harder does not necessarily create more value. You can create a lot more value by not working harder. Okay, and here's another one. Oh, this is my favorite. Looks like someone's trying to sit at the adult table again. Cynical Libertarian Society wants to throw down. Because yes, see, when I made fun of Bree Bolin, now I'm trying to sit at the adult table. Let's see, who else have I made fun of on this podcast? Who have I insulted? I just called Ben Stone a feminist social justice warrior. I've bitch-slapped Stefan Molyneux. I've bitch-slapped President Obama. I've bitch-slapped President Bush. I've called Michael Dean a feminist. And I'm running out of time, but I mean, you know, this idea that some fucking poor woman who can barely feed herself with her food stamps, that insulting her is somehow me sitting down at the big table? I mean, these people have a delusional view of themselves. Absolutely fucking delusional. Here's a tweet from Bree Bolin, who doesn't have time to work on her resume, where she's telling all the adjuncts out there to remember to file for unemployment before the end of the semester. For somebody who doesn't have time to work on your fucking resume, you sure do have time to be on Twitter, honey. And why would you get a job where you have to file for unemployment and stuff? Like too many libertarians, two is a number. Cynical Libertarian Society wants to blame workers who had their livelihood stolen instead of bad men. Yeah, I am blaming you. Your livelihood was not stolen. You got a worthless degree and you accepted a job that does not pay you enough money to live on. Here we go. Cynical Libertarian Society is so goddamn independent and radical, he aligns his position with the establishment view of adjuncts and liberal arts. You know, just because Hitler was a vegetarian doesn't mean vegetarians are aligned with him. Cynical Libertarian Society buys into the myth of radical individualism and wisdom of the market because secretly, S/he is a fucking fascist piece of shit. This person is trying to insult me and yet be politically correct at the same time. So then I went to the website for this N1 Academy, and what pops up on the front page? Thought Rave with Lady Gaga. I don't know if this is a book. I don't know if this is a course, whatever. But this person has a website for adjunct professors to come and whine about how oppressed they are. And they're featuring Lady Gaga. You know what? At least Lady Gaga creates value for other people. That's why she's rich, and you're not.